And good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Kozel versus Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. Each side has 20 minutes allotted for it, Mr. Domina, how many of those 20 minutes do you intend to take?
Your Honor, depending on the court's questions, I hope to use 5. The Solicitor General will use 10. If he uses not all of my rebuttal time, I'll come back to the rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of the citizens, four of the citizens of Sheridan County, who invoked a statute to protest the renewal of liquor licenses at White Clay. Those four persons became parties of record to the only record that is before this court. In your chambers is a 10-volume record that was made before the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. After the commission decided not to renew those licenses, this case went to the district court. It went there under the Administrative Procedures Act for a singular purpose, and that was so the district court could review that record. Under the APA, there is no other record, just the agency record. It is the record for review. The agency statute, in the case of the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission, defines the phrase parties of record. And parties of record include citizens who protest the renewal of a liquor license if they are residents of the county, there are three or more of them, they file their protest in writing, and they file it timely.
It's your position that this was a renewal and not a revocation?
It was a renewal, Your Honor. It was not a revocation.
And it wasn't a cancellation?
And it was not a cancellation. That's correct.
That's your view. Okay, thank you.
Throughout the course of the proceeding, as a matter of fact, there were references to the date of expiration of the license, which was April 30th. All four licenses had simultaneous expiration dates. So my clients were parties of record to that proceeding, and they were active parties. They filed pleadings, witness lists, exhibit lists. They were called upon before the agency to present their evidence first. They did so. They actively cross-examined every witness who was called unless they declined to do so. They offered more than 24 exhibits. They actively participated in the case. When the case was over and decided, the applicants for renewal of their licenses sought review under the Administrative Procedures Act. In order to invoke that act correctly, the beer stores had to do these things. First, they had to name the commission and serve the Attorney General. Second, they had to name the parties of record and serve the parties of record. Third, they had to get the agency record to the district court where it would be reviewed in a hearing at which the parties were given notice that a hearing would be conducted. Beer stores are 0 for 5. None of those things appear in the record. No summonses to the Attorney General and no service. No naming of the citizens and no service. No record before the agency when the district court decided this case on its merits without that record. And as you know from the third supplemental transcript just filed in recent days, there was a precipice requesting the supplemental records from the district court so we could establish that there had been no summonses requested or served. You have that before you. And if for some reason it doesn't include my precipice, which I hope it does, but if it doesn't, I've asked in the supplemental brief that you judicially notice the appendix to my supplemental brief, which contains my precipice. It's necessary to see that precipice and match it with the clerk of the district court's record to know what is absent in the district court file.
So is a party of record the same thing as a necessary party?
Your Honor, I looked at that issue in my brief. I think that it is the same thing for the purposes of the Administrative Procedures Act. At least under the Liquor Control Act, the term necessary party isn't a statutory term, but I think that persons who do those things that are required by the Act to become parties of record are thereafter necessary parties.
Is that the right question, necessary party?
Well, I added it to the brief thinking it would be good measure for you, but I really think the question is, what does the three-word phrase, parties of record, mean? That phrase is used in both statutes of concern to you, the Liquor Act and the Administrative Procedures Act. And I think it's important to bear in mind that the rights of the parties come from the Liquor Act here. The Administrative Procedures Act provides a process for judicial review, and that process is mandatory to invoke judicial review.
Have we had cases, have we not had cases where we found the Liquor Commission was not indispensable?
Yes, you have. You have had.
They're a little bit old, and I've got one Winkleman, which is 1977. I don't know what your view of it is.
Your Honor, I remember reading Winkleman. I know some of the newer cases better, but here's my view. It seems to me that you've been careful to say that where the agency has only an adjudicative role and not a prosecutorial role, the agency is not a necessary party. But here the agency did put on evidence. The agency presented the first evidence. The agency examined and cross-examined, called and cross-examined witnesses in addition to offering exhibits.
Well, in Winkleman, what's the best word? Protestants, the objectors.
Protestants. Protestants.
The objectors took the appeal.
Yes, that's correct. And here, the agency took
appeal. And you represent objectors, and you would have had no basis to do so, having had an outcome that was satisfactory.
Well, that's right. We wouldn't have been aggrieved. Here we were aggrieved by the judgment of the district court. We had no basis for appealing the agency. And so under the decision you made in Schaefer versus Department of Health and Human Services, I believe we are properly aggrieved parties and that our appeal is also appropriately before you. But there's no question that the Attorney General's appeal on behalf of the Commission is properly before you.
How is your message different than the Commission's message?
Procedurally or on the merits, Your Honor?
Both.
Well, procedurally, I think we are lockstep with one another. Procedurally, I think the Attorney General and we agree that the beer stores are 0 for 5 for those matters that I discussed before. Substantively, what we think is that the evidence is overwhelming that there are grounds, including statutory grounds, for the non-renewal of these licenses. The licensees were given specific notice that law enforcement was an issue after a Sheridan County commissioner testified to that effect, and the Liquor Control Commission learned of that testimony. So the Liquor Control Commission asked for long-form applications, received them. That gave the citizens an opportunity to protest, which they did. In turn, that created a contested case for purposes of what became this APA appeal. And so the Attorney General and we are also in agreement on the merits insofar as law enforcement is concerned. We would stretch the statute another step that I don't think the Attorney General wants to do. We would argue that the renewal of a liquor nut license is itself an application, and that this court can look beyond whether the simple question, does the applicant still meet the same criteria that it had to meet at the time of the last renewal?
Would we have to overrule some of our case law?
Well, I think you'd have to distinguish it, Your Honor, and the reason I say you can distinguish them away without overruling them is because of the timing of the statute being Section 53-135-02 being amended. I also think that amendment, coupled with a change in the expression of the purposes for the Act, expanded the Act. And so I think the Attorney General and we have a modest difference of opinion about that. You don't have to adopt my opinion for my position on that for us to win.
How does the procedure that was followed in this case differ from the procedure that this court considered in the Grand Island Latin Club?
Your Honor, in the Grand Island Latin Club case, the citizens who were protestants appeared before the city council. They did not appear before the Liquor Control Commission. Therefore, they did not become parties of record within that phrase's meaning in the Liquor Control Act. Pretty fundamental distinction, I think. I'll sit down and the Attorney General will want the rest of this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. How much time do we have here?
10 minutes and 57 seconds.
Okay, 10 minutes and 57 seconds. Mr. Smith, good morning to you, by the way.
Good morning. May it please the court. This court should reverse with, most importantly, directions to dismiss, because the district court did not have subject matter jurisdiction, and the statutory time has passed for the district court to obtain subject matter jurisdiction. There are two independent reasons why the district court did not have jurisdiction. One, as far as the Liquor Control Commission is concerned, we were not served with the summons, and we were not served with a copy of the petition, which is required.
Did you enter a voluntary appearance on behalf of the commission?
We entered a voluntary appearance, but under the court's recent decision in JSV Grand Island Public Schools, a voluntary appearance involves personal but not subject matter jurisdiction. You still have to serve the commission. You still have to issue a summons. You still have to serve the commission with a copy of the petition. And in the JSV Grand Island Public Schools case, this court said there was no subject matter jurisdiction because of the lack of service. The court construed the APA statute's requirement for service within 30 days as being a matter of subject matter jurisdiction. That didn't happen in this case. Also didn't happen for the citizen protestants. The second reason, which I think Mr. Domina has covered, is that the court did not have jurisdiction because the plaintiff beer stores did not name the citizen protestants as parties of record. On that latter point, there's two cases I think the court can depend upon. That's Schaefer v. Department of Health and Human Services and Orchard Hill Neighborhood Association versus Orchard Hill Mercantile. Schaefer says that whether one is a necessary party to the district court appeal is dependent upon whether it was a party of record at the agency hearing. So it looks at the agency perspective. And Schaefer relies upon two main factors determining whether you're a party of record at the agency hearing. The first would be whether there's a statute that makes one a party, and secondly, whether the agency treated one as a party during the hearing by active participation as a party.
That requirement is not cumulative, is it? It's either one or the other satisfies the determination.
I think you could read the Schaefer case as saying that, but in Schaefer, the court relied upon both of those factors. Both are present here. We have a statute that made the citizen protestants parties of record at the agency proceeding. We also have a situation in which the citizen protestants were very active participants at the agency proceedings. Thus, if you applied the alternative in Schaefer, either one of those is satisfied. If you say you have to have both elements, both are satisfied.
To return for a moment to the service of summons, in the Grand Island case, we were considering the Student Discipline Act, which sets forth a specific procedure for appeals to the district court. Here, under the Liquor Control Act, we're simply, it refers directly to the Administrative Procedure Act. How, if at all, does that affect your argument?
I don't think it makes a difference, because as I recall in the Grand Island Public Schools case, it does incorporate process under the Administrative Procedure Act. In the Administrative Procedure Act, then you have to be a party of record, and Schaefer then construes party of record as looking at it from the agency's perspective.
Assume for a moment that your recollection is incorrect.
Okay.
What effect then?
Well, if the court, the way I recalled it was, I'm recalling it different than you do, Your Honor. My recollection, and also the court then incorporates the Concordia Teachers College versus Nebraska Department of Labor, which in that case, it's still under the Administrative Procedure Act, where you do have to issue the summons and have service. So JSV Grand Island reaffirms Concordia Teacher College in that case does require service upon the state, and they specifically said the Attorney General in that case. The Orchard Hill Neighborhood Association case that I mentioned is a case in which you had some neighborhood residents who were protesting the issuance of a license. They went and appealed to the district court from the Liquor Commission granting a liquor license. This court's opinion didn't have any problem with the issues of standing or the right of the objectors to be parties of record in the district court, simply because they were people who objected at the commission hearing. They lost. They appealed to the district court.
Is it different because they lost at that hearing?
There still makes them a parties of record, because if they're not parties of record, they wouldn't have any right to appeal under the administrative procedure.
So it doesn't matter whether they were aggrieved parties, whether just that they were parties.
In the district court, to appeal to the district court, you have to be parties of record, and they were treated as parties of record simply because they were objectors at the commission proceeding and had the right to appeal to the district court. Substantively, our third assignment of error, to me there are six reasons the commission, from its perspective, had the legal authority to do what it did. Under the Liquor Control Act, based upon the commission's findings and conclusions after the hearing.
The November 1st hearing?
No, that was simply setting
the notice.
That
was a regular meeting.
Yeah, that's just a regular meeting, sending a notice, putting the licensees on notice that we're going to have a hearing on whether or not you're going to be able to renew or have a license after expiration.
What sort of findings or showings were made at that November 1st commission meeting?
To me, that is simply the proceeding for giving notice or determining that we are going to have a hearing, and then giving the notice to the licensees that we're going to have a hearing and what the notice is. The record, and I can give you the site, the record has the commission just entering an order saying they received the Sheridan County's dispatch log, they had an email of state patrol hours, they had the interim study hearing, and they concluded that the evidence shows they may not meet all the requirements for automatic renewal, and that there's a concern concerning adequacy of law enforcement. That was the notice then that went to the licensees determining the issues, and then they had a due process hearing based upon those issues in that notice.
That's the notice that says long form is going to be on deck.
Yes.
Is there a due process issue there? Do you have to notice?
The procedural due process is giving the notice that we're going to have the hearing, and then their procedural due process is satisfied by actually having the hearing on those issues.
Is there a statutory authority to request a long form application?
That would be part of the six reasons if I get into why the commission had legal authority under the Act. First, I just start off with the commission's broad and statutory authority to regulate sale of liquor. Second is the Act's stated legislative policy of promoting health, safety, and welfare of the public, encouraging temperance in the consumption of alcohol by sound control. The Act, by a term, specifically says that policy means the Act is being liberally construed to promote that policy. The fourth one would be the statutes provide that the Commission may at any time require a licensee to submit an application. It says licensee, which necessarily means someone who is an existing licensee. Otherwise, that language makes no sense, that may require a licensee to submit an application. The statute also says a retail license may be automatically renewed without formal application. It does not say shall be. And most importantly, 53-135-02 says that the statutory renewal privilege, quote, shall not be construed as a vested right, which shall in any case prevent the commission from decreasing the number of licenses to be issued within its jurisdiction, which is what happened here.
Counsel, what is the actual statute for renewals?
The statute provides for a statutory renewal privilege, but the last sentence...
No, what is the actual site?
Oh, the site, 53-135.02.
Okay, you don't think it's 53-135?
No, that's the statute for requiring a licensee to submit an application. The statute on renewal privilege is 53-135-02. I would cite, case not cited in anyone's brief.
Counsel, I'm a little confused by your comments because 53-135 starts out by talking about a retail license issued by the commission may be automatically renewed, and then later it says the commission may at any time require a licensee to submit an application.
Okay.
Whereas 135-02, isn't that just the notice requirement?
No, that says 135-02 says licensee may renew its license at the expiration in the manner set forth in 53-135, which incorporates 135. 135-02, though, says the renewal privilege shall not be construed as a vested right, which shall in any case prevent the commission from decreasing the number of licenses, which then defines what the renewal privilege is and allows the excludes that privilege from a commission proceeding to decrease the number of licenses to be issued.
So you're saying 135 is part of 135-02?
Yes, 135-02 incorporates 135.
Okay.
Is a triplicate original application the same as long form?
My understanding is if the district court had actually looked at the record, I think that would be.
One more thing before you sit down. The reference to parties of record in the Liquor Commission statutes, is there a qualification there? Does it say for the purposes of this section, and what does that mean if it's there?
It does say for purposes of this section. It also says in case of administrative proceeding before the commission on the application for a license, and I think it ultimately comes down to, we're talking a renewal privilege, that last sentence of 53-135-02 is critically important because it defines what that renewal privilege is, what it is not, and under the Pep and Pantry case, there's a sentence in that opinion that specifically says the commission had not taken any action decreasing the number of licenses to be issued within its jurisdiction. So Pump and Pantry necessarily didn't even address that final sentence. The court has any further questions?
Thank you very much. Mr. Snyder, good morning to you.
Good morning. I represent the appellees in this matter. I'd like to start by focusing on what happened before the commission itself. There's some very specific procedures about how this type of thing, a renewal application, is supposed to go, and that is the licensees are supposed to be allowed to submit an application and the commission reviews it, determine if there is any of the three factors that have changed, and that being they still qualify for a license, they're maintaining their license in the same place, and that the premises remain suitable for the sale of alcohol. None of that happened in this case whatsoever.
Are you saying in spite of the protests that the commission still had to issue the license to the retailers because those three things hadn't changed since their license was issued?
I'm saying the commission had no authority to do what they did because there was never a renewal application. And this court has held in a Latin Club case that the commission's authority to look at these renewal applications is to determine whether or not one of those three things has changed after a renewal application has been submitted. Language of that case is very clear. And then there's also procedures in the statutes for what happens after a renewal application is submitted. What happens is the county clerk is supposed to issue a notice in the beginning of January of each year and say, these are the licenses that are coming up for renewal. Do you want to protest? Then the protesters are supposed to have 10 days to do that. None of those steps took place. My clients didn't file a renewal application because they were 6 months or 7 months away from needing to do so on November 1st when this meeting was held without notice to my clients.
What do you make of the plain language of 53-135 that says the commission may at any time require a licensee to submit an application? How in the scenario you just painted is that statutory sentence given effect?
Well, that was addressed plainly in the Latin Club case. And that was the exact argument, I believe, made by the city or maybe the commission in that case, one of the two. And they relied on that sentence. And this court rejected it and said, no, that nullifies a renewal privilege if we just use that sentence and say, well, you can submit an application anytime.
Counsel, if we adopt that opinion, then we've effectively done away with that portion of 135, haven't we? If we interpret pump and pantry in that manner, how would the commission ever ask for a long form?
They could do so if one of those three things changed on a renewal application.
But you're saying there is no renewal application.
No, there was no renewal application in this case.
Right, but you're saying your client didn't have to fill one out, right?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm saying they never got the opportunity to fill one out. What? Of course they had to fill one out because they have to request a renewal at the appropriate time, a month or so.
Okay, well, let's back up. Is this case a renewal or a revocation?
It's a revocation.
Okay. How come in your initial brief you said, or in your petition for review of the district court, you said it was a renewal?
Well,
It's got to be one or the other, right?
Well, I don't think it has to be one or the other.
So you're saying
it wasn't an issuance of the license. It means it's a renewal of the license. Everybody can agree on that. These people had licenses for a long time.
Was it a cancellation?
I suppose, I don't know that that term is defined, but I suppose you could certainly call it that. They don't have their licenses anymore.
Well, after the commission issued its order, though, the retailers continued to have a license until it expired. Isn't that correct? The order didn't say cease and desist. So after the commission's order was entered, the retailers were able to continue. They weren't shuttered, right?
For the matter of 3 days, yeah. I mean, it ended April 30th is when their license expired.
Well, how does the Liquor Commission Act define revocation?
I don't know the answer to that, sorry. And I'm sure that there is a definition of revocation. They've got cancellation in there as well. And the statute, the applicable statute on who are parties of record doesn't use the phrase renewal in there. But I know the renewal statutes are the ones that were cited here earlier today, which is 53-135 and 53-135-02, and none of these proceedings by the commission were based on either of those statutes. They based everything on 53-132-2 and 53-132-3. Again, this court has held in the Latin Club case, cannot form the basis for cancellation, revocation of a license. Exactly what they tried to do in the Latin Club. Very same thing. The commission just ignored that ruling and completely lacked jurisdiction in the way that they handled this.
In the Latin Club case, what kind of a showing did this court say was required before an application could be requested?
Well, if the application be requested, if there is a showing on the face of the license, on the face of the renewal, that the licensees aren't qualified to hold the license, they're not doing it in the same place, or the premises aren't suitable for the sale of alcohol. That's what this court, well, that was actually the earlier case, the Pump and Pantry case, but the Latin Club case upheld that and reiterated that holding.
But that's kind of like background. That's backdrop. That doesn't get to the subject of how the business is being conducted or its consequences. Right.
Okay.
Right. I mean, what did the state patrol witness say? What was the substance of at the commission?
At the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He testified about increased state patrol presence in White Clay. He testified about statistical matters with state patrol in White Clay.
But some of this basic stuff may not be pertinent. You know, you've got electricity, a front door, and a restroom in the back. That's not what's on deck, right?
Well, it's what this court has held. And that was this court's express ruling in both of those cases. So the question was asked earlier, do you have to overrule it? Yes, I guess you do. You're going to overrule it. If you're going to say we have to consider these other things, and we have to look get back to the factors of 53-132, 2, and 3, then you're going to be overruling those two cases. Because Latin Club in particular said those cannot form the basis for cancellation or revocation of a license. The only thing that can form the cancellation or the basis for cancellation or revocation of a license or renewal of a license is a violation of the Liquor Act. The lack of law enforcement or perceived lack of law enforcement is not something that a liquor licensee can violate. It's not a violation under the Act.
Mr. Snyder, could you address for a few minutes the absence of service of summons in the proceedings in the district court and what effect, if any, that has?
I don't think it has any effect. Obviously, the commission, and has admitted here, they've entered an appearance in the case. They appeared at the hearing. The transcript shows that they indicated they were ready for the hearing. They appealed on the very same day that the order was entered, which was within 3 days, I believe, of when it was filed. By statute, we would have 30 days to serve a summons. An appeal is issued within 3 days, which strips the court of jurisdiction anyway. The court can't do anything after the appeal filed. We were deprived of 27 days of being able to do something in that case, but didn't have it. You've also got the case of Big Crow versus the City of Rushville. Is it 266 Nebraska 750? In that case, it involved the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act. Big Crow filed a political subdivision tort claim with the City of Rushville. The statute 13906 says you've got to wait 6 months. You've got to give the city 6 months to address the claim. And then you withdraw your claim and then you file suit.
But that's not an Administrative Procedure Act case.
No, it's not, but I think it's analogous here because what happened was the Big Crow filed a lawsuit 5, 6, 7 days before the 6 months was up and without drawing the claim. So the claim later by the city, much later before this court, was, hey, they didn't have jurisdiction to do this because they didn't follow the procedures under the Political Subdivision Tort Claim Act.
Under your argument, are you taking the position that if we found that there was not jurisdiction because of the absence of service of summons, that the time for serving a summons was told because of the appeal taken by the state?
We lost that opportunity, yes. And the Big Crow case went on to hold that the city in that case, they appeared, they went through the case, they filed a motion for summary judgment, they appeared before the courts of appeals and didn't raise the issue. This court found that they waived that issue by failing to raise it. The issue of a summons to the
but of course
Attorney General's office here wasn't raised until this supplemental brief 10 or 11 days ago.
A Political Subdivisions Tort Claims Act is not an appeal from an inferior tribunal. It's a new original action in the district court, isn't it?
It is.
And that isn't that a significant difference?
No, it's still subject matter jurisdiction. 13906 is a statute that waives sovereign immunity to give the courts jurisdiction to hold that.
Counsel, if you say you have the 27 days yet to do service, how did the district court have any authority to issue the order it did if it didn't have subject matter jurisdiction due to lack of service? Because you still had 27 days to do it.
No,
how's that order valid at all then?
Well, it could be a valid point, but we shouldn't be tossed out because the jurisdiction was stripped from this court 3 days after it was filed. You've also got, if you're going to look at jurisdiction, the commission here had no jurisdiction to do what it did. It's limited by its own statutory authority and the construction of this court to take action. So if we look at jurisdiction, let's look at all of it.
Well, but counsel, isn't the bottom line, if you want a court to review the authority of the Liquor Commission to do what it did, you've got to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. Isn't that the bottom line?
Sure, you've got to. I'm not going to argue you can. But if you want to strip somebody of their license, you've got to comply and you've got to have jurisdiction to do so too.
Were the objectors parties of record?
No.
Why not?
Because the statute in the Liquor Control Act doesn't make them parties of record.
You're relying under 4C of 84917, which is simply
yes.
A revocation.
Yes,
or a cancellation issue as opposed to 4A,
yep.
Which is a renewal position.
No, 4A is not a renewal. 4A is an application.
Okay.
And it talks about specifically in there about issuance of licenses. And it also talks about protests filed pursuant to 53133, which are protests for the issuance of licenses. Protests for renewals of licenses are done under 53.35.01.
That argument would mean that as long as you had the three things in your original application, you could never be deprived of your liquor license.
And I think that's what this court has held. This court has held in the absence of a change in circumstances in those three factors, then renewal should be granted. That's exactly what this court has held.
How do you deal with the statute to which Mr. Smith referred regarding reduction of overall number of licenses?
It wasn't a factor here. My clients weren't given notice, nor were any other liquor stores or anybody else in Sheridan County, that they were looking at reducing the number of licenses in White Clay or Sheridan County or anywhere else. That's never been a factor. I mean, it's just a red herring that's brought up today and only today, and it's never been anywhere in the record about they were looking at reducing licenses.
If the Liquor Commission was proceeding without subject matter jurisdiction, wouldn't the correct way to have attacked that have been by a petition for injunction?
I did. It's not part of the record, but we did file a petition for injunction. It was denied by a district court. I also filed a motion to dismiss in these proceedings, which is part of the record, which was denied by the commission as well. Filed it based on the exact same things I'm citing here today, Pump and Pantry and the Latin Club case. We've raised every issue we can to, every time we've had the opportunity to raise the issue of their authority to do it, we've done so.
I hate to bounce around, but back to the district court, what is the effect of the fact that there was no record in front of the district court whatsoever?
I think I cited you to some portions of the APA which indicate that the district court has to make its decision based upon the decision of the agency, or it can also make orders that it deems fit. I'm not using the exact language, but I've cited it in my brief. And I don't think when the decision, commission's decision in this case, it is so blatantly violation of the statutes and this court's ruling, that there's any benefit to having further record before it. It just delays the matter. I mean, you have a record of the commission saying we're relying on 53.132. This court has said you can't do revoke or cancel a license. So there's no distinction there between failing to renew a license.
So is your argument is the absence of a record is not important if it's an issue of law?
My argument would be in this case, I don't know about every case, but in this case the commission's decision was such a blatant violation of its authorities that the full record wasn't necessary and not needed. It wouldn't have added anything to the manner in which the commission made this decision and the basis upon it made the decision. Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day.